welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of sitcoms. Later on, it's AB's Irish Rose from 1944. But first, a program that began in 1944, it's The Life of Riley. William Bendix stars in an NBC broadcast called The Matchmaker from September 13, 1947.
Prowl brings you The Life of Riley. Prowl, the shampoo that removes dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely. Prowl presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Chester A. Riley is a man who doesn't feel he's doing his duty as a husband and father unless he's worrying about something. This week, his wife hasn't given him any cause for alarm. His son, Junior, has been behaving himself. So it's daughter Babs's turn to bear the brunt of Riley's fatherly concern.
I'm home, Dumplin'.
Oh, hello, dear. How was the movie?
Oh, great. Children of Today. Wonderful picture. I love a movie that's really up to the minute.
Now, who was in it?
Rudolph Valentino and Pearl White.
Well, they were silent stars. Well, that picture must have been made 30 years ago.
Well, it still holds good for today. It shows what happens when kids ain't brought up right. There's one scene when a boy no older than our Junior hits his father on the head with an axe. And then robs him. I want Junior to go see that picture. He'll learn a lot.
Oh. Well, I doubt if he'd like it. He only likes Westerns.
Yeah, believe me, a picture like that makes a father worry about his kid's future.
Well, you don't have to worry about our children.
That's because I brought them up right. Instead of running around the streets all hours of the night like other kids, our Junior's in bed. And Babs is in a room reading a good book.
Oh, Babs isn't home.
Yes, sir. Thank heaven we got nothing to worry. Where is she?
Out.
Out? So late at night, how could you let a young girl like that go out all alone?
She's not alone. She's with that nice boy, Harry Bates.
I've talked to that boy. I'd rather she was alone.
Oh, Harry's all right.
All right. Who is he? A nobody. And he comes from a family of nobodies.
Well, my goodness, who are we?
I'm talking about Babs. There's a girl's got looks, charm, personality, brains. Why, she's got everything I wanted when I was a kid. She don't have to waste her time with boys like Harry Bates.
Well, now, what kind of boys would meet with your approval?
Well, college boys. Boys with a future.
Just because a boy didn't go to college doesn't mean he hasn't got a future.
That's where you're wrong. You can't get no place without college. Take me. I'm a riveter. If I had to go into college, I wouldn't be hammering in rivets with my hands. I'd be using my head.
Bab Riley, Babs will be all right.
It's my duty to see that she meets the right kind of boys and picks out the right husband.
Oh, rubbish. Well, my father was just as concerned about me as you are about Babs. But he let me pick my own boyfriends, and when the time came, my own husband.
Well, I ain't gonna make the same stupid mistake he did. Yes, sir, Gillis, you're lucky you got a son.
What's so lucky about that?
Well, when you got a son, you only got one boy to worry about. When you got a daughter, you got 100 boys to worry about.
That's where I was smart. I gave birth to a son.
Worry, worry, worry. Every minute, worry.
Well, at least your daughter's no stay-at-home like some poor girls. She's got plenty of dates.
Oh, yeah, she's pretty notorious, all right. I got no complaints there, but I'd like Babs to hang out with a higher-class type of fella. Refined, after
hey,
all.
Watch it. Here comes the boss.
Where?
There, with that young guy.
O'Reilly, Gillis.
Oh, hello, boss.
Hello, Mr. Stevenson.
Boys, I want you to meet my nephew, Leonard Stevenson.
How do you do, gentlemen?
Oh, hello, Leonard.
Hi.
You see, Leonard's studying aerodynamics at college, and...
Oh, you go to college, Leonard?
Yes, sir.
I thought maybe one of you boys might show him around the plant.
Well, sure, boss. I'd be only too glad to have Gillis show him around.
Huh?
But go on, Gillis. Don't keep Leonard waiting.
Oh, sure, sure. Glad to, Leonard.
Thank you. I'm very interested in those new hydraulic presses.
That's fine. You can explain them to me.
Ah, That's a fine boy there, Mr. Stevens.
Yes, he is. Got a great future. Comes from fine stock.
Yep. If I had a few shares of that stock, I'd have a future, too. he's a fine boy.
Brilliant student, too. Likes to stay home and read.
Oh, my daughter, Babs, likes to stay home and read.
Oh, I wish he'd go out more often. I'm always telling him, Leonard, why don't you meet more people your own age?
Now, that's a coincidence. I keep telling my daughter, Babs, why don't you meet more young men your own age, like Leonard Stevenson?
Oh, I wish I knew some nice young... Say, I wonder if... No.
Yes.
Do you think maybe your daughter...
It's a date, boss.
Well, maybe toward the end of the week she...
Tonight! But, Dad, you've got to go out with Leonard Stevenson. He's going to phone in a few minutes.
Daddy, I keep telling you I have a date for tonight. I've been dying to go out with this boy for weeks.
Cancel it.
I can't. I just can't.
But you don't know what you're missing. Leonard is one boy in a million. He's so handsome. He's got blonde, wavy hair like Van Johnson, a flashing smile like Clark Gable, and a dimple in his chin like Cary Grant. Believe me, he's another Sonny Tufts. Well, what do you say?
I'm sorry, Daddy. I'd do it if I could, but...
All right. Subject is closed. But all I can say is this is a fine way to pay me back after all I've done for you.
Oh, Riley, stop pestering her. You had no right to...
Tell her, Peg. When she had the whooping cough and had to have a shot in the arm, who walked 3 miles in a blizzard to bring the doctor? Who held her while he stuck that big needle in her little arm?
I did.
All right, but who fainted? I did. Okay, Babs, I ask you to do one little thing for your own benefit, and you turn me down.
Oh, all right, Daddy. I'll cancel my date and go out with this Leonard.
You will? Oh, that's great. You'll never regret it. This Leonard is a... The phone. Oh, boy, that must be him. Now be nice to him, Babs. Tell him you love to go out with him. Tell... Hello? Oh, hello, Leonard. Yeah, Babs is here. Yeah, I'll put her on, and me and the wife will go out in the kitchen so Babs can be alone while you ask her to go out with you, which she will.
Minerva, you've just got to do it for me.
But, Babs, I don't even know this boy, Leonard.
Well, neither do I. That's why it'll be all right.
Sure it will. What's going to be all right?
Oh, for Pete's sake, Minnie, I told you 3 times. Now, listen, I've got this date with Bruce, and my father wants me to go out with this Leonard, so I said yes. But now I can't get in touch with Bruce to break our date. So now I've got 2 dates, a date with Bruce and a date with Leonard, and you'll have to go out with Leonard.
Oh, where do I meet Bruce?
Not Bruce. You meet Leonard at the drugstore, and listen, you have to pretend you're me.
I'm you?
Leonard's never seen me. You just say you're Babs Riley. Oh, you'll like him, Minerva. He's a college boy.
Oh, then I better take some money with me.
Oh, no, he's rich. And handsome, too. Oh, you'll have a grand time. But you mustn't tell anyone.
Oh, no, I won't. Babs, do you think he'll try to kiss me?
Well, he might.
Then I better tighten my pivot tooth. The last time I got kissed, I swallowed it.
Well, good night, Bruce, and thanks for a swell evening.
It was perfect, Babs. Can I call you again?
If you really want to, Bruce.
Oh, boy, do I. You'll hear from me soon.
All right, Bruce. Good night.
Good night. Beautiful.
How'd it go?
Oh, Daddy. I didn't see you sitting there.
I waited up to find out how your date went. Nice boy, huh?
Oh, he's wonderful, Daddy. I'm just wild about him, and I think he likes me.
Oh, you made a good impression, huh?
Well, I think so. He said he'd call me again soon.
Oh, that's great, honey.
You really like him, huh?
Oh, he's got the cutest curly black hair.
Yeah, when I saw it, black. This afternoon, Leonard was a blonde.
Leonard?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, did I say black? I meant blonde.
He's got you in a dither, all right. Well, this is one boy I don't mind you falling for.
Well, Daddy, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, after all.
It's all right. You can't fool your old daddy. I know what's going on. Yes, sir, Gillis, my Babs sure made a hit with the big boss's nephew last night.
All right, stop bragging. My daughter would have made a bigger hit if I had a daughter.
And Leonard's crazy about her.
Come on, let's get back to work. I got to get some sleep before quitting time.
Hey, wait. There's Leonard just going into Stevenson's office. Come on.
Hey, where are you going?
I bet right now he's raving to the boss about Babs. If we get up close...
Wait, Riley, it ain't nice to eavesdrop. You can get fired for it.
Well, tell me, Leonard, how was your date with that Riley girl last night?
Well, Uncle Carl, I hardly know what to say.
You hear that, Gillis? He can't find words good enough.
To be perfectly frank, Uncle, this Barbara Riley is just about the stupidest thing on 2 feet.
Stupid?
Babs? No.
So she made a big hit, huh, Riley?
I can hardly believe it, Leonard. I know the Rileys very well. Her mother's a fine, intelligent woman, and her father is... Well, maybe you're right.
Gillis... It ain't nice to eavesdrop. Come on.
Wait, this is fascinating.
Honest, Uncle Carl, she has no charm, no personality. She really needs a plumber.
A plumber?
She's a drip.
Gillis, let's get back to work.
Okay.
Carry me.
Don't take it so hard, Riley. Suppose she is a drip. Someday she'll meet a droop. And...
I don't understand it, Gillis. My Babs stupid? How could she be stupid? Why, ever since she was a little baby, I taught her everything I know. Oh, why did she pay attention to me? Peg, it's true, I tell you. Stupid, that's the word he used.
Babs? Stupid?
Why,
that's fantastic. It's true, I'm her mother, but I still say you couldn't find a more charming or intelligent girl.
Well, that's what I thought. But when you get too close to a person, you can't judge anymore. For instance, I always thought you were beautiful, Peg.
Well, aren't I?
Well, I don't know. Who can tell? To a baboon, the most beautiful creature in the world is another baboon.
Crazy.
Peg, this is serious. And it's up to
now,
me to...
Now, look, you leave Babs alone.
No, it's no use. My head is made up. Babs has got to change, and I'm the one to change her. You know the saying, it takes a sow's ear to make a silk purse.
Hello? Oh, hi, Minnie. No, I haven't heard from Bruce yet. I just can't understand it. Bruce seemed to like me, and he said he'd call. What a life. You wait years for the perfect man, and then... Well, I'm in the middle of some ironing. See you tomorrow, Minnie.
Babs. Babsy.
In here, Daddy.
Oh, hello, Babs. What are you doing, honey?
Oh, nothing.
You look kind of blue. You're worried about a certain boy, ain't you?
Well, yes, I am. I expected him to call me, but so far he...
Babsy. Sometimes we've got to face certain things, no matter how horrible they are. Look at me, honey.
Well,
sometimes a person is a little on the stupid side, but that ain't the end of the world, as long as that person is willing to change, right?
Oh, Daddy, I like you just the way you are.
Let me put it another way. You see, Babs...
Couldn't we talk about your problem some other time, Daddy?
Babs, I don't like to see you brooding this way. I know what. Come on, let's go to a movie.
Oh, no, I've got to stay in case I get a call.
I hate to say this, baby, but I don't think he's ever going to call.
He's got to. He's just got to.
You kind of fell for this boy, huh?
Oh, he's a dream, Daddy. You know how it is. A girl meets a lot of boys, but it doesn't mean a thing. And then all of a sudden she meets a boy and she says to herself, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. When I was going with your mother, I heard those very same words. The night I proposed to her, she introduced me to her father, and he said, is this it? But cheer up, it'll be all right. There are other boys.
Oh, you don't understand. The way I feel now, I couldn't look at another boy.
Neither could I.
Oh, excuse me, Daddy. I'd like to be alone for a while.
Sure. Sure, baby. Poor kid, a little heart's breaking. All on account of that no good Leonard.
Yes?
Good evening. My name is Bruce Taylor. Is Babs home?
Yeah, she's home, but she don't want to see you, son.
She doesn't?
Now, you'd just be wasting your time, son. She's crazy about a certain boy, Leonard.
Yeah, but, gee, she told me that I...
I'll tell you what she told me. She said she couldn't look at you.
But, well...
I'm sorry, son, but you ain't it, so run along, huh?
Oh, gosh, if that's the way she feels. Okay, good night.
Poor kid. You don't know what kind of a daughter I've got. He probably thinks she's charming.
Daddy, who was that at the door?
Oh, nothing important. Just some boy asking for you.
A boy? What boy?
Taylor.
Bruce? Bruce Taylor?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But I got rid of him fast. I told him you don't want to see him.
You told him?
Yeah.
But he's the one I've been waiting to hear from, and you told him... Oh, you've ruined everything.
But, Babs, you said... But, Babs, I thought Leonard was the one
Leonard,
that
you... Leonard, who cares about Leonard? I love and despise Leonard. You and your Leonard, I never want to hear the name Leonard again.
Babsy, darling, what's the matter? What happened? Riley, what did you do to Babs?
Nothing. I was just straightening out her life.
Minerva, how much longer are you going to take with that soda?
I'll be through in a minute.
I've got to get home.
I knew I could get that cherry through the straw.
Well, let's go.
Wait. Oh, look who's coming this way. You! Hey! He heard me. He's coming over.
Oh, he's cute. Who is he, Minerva?
Why, you know, that's Leonard Stevenson, the one you gave me that night.
But he's a perfect dream. I never thought...
Oh, hello there. Nice to see you again, Barbara.
Hello, Leonard. I want you to meet a friend of mine, Barbara Riley. I mean, I'm Barbara. She's Minerva. I mean...
Could an innocent bystander get in on the joke?
I'm afraid I owe you an apology, Mr. Stevenson. You see, I'm Barbara Riley, and she's Minerva. My father made that date with you, but I was busy, and Minerva wasn't doing anything, so I... Well...
Oh, so you're Babs Riley. Well, do you mind if I join you?
Oh, it'd be a pleasure. Gee, I'm sorry you have to go, Minerva.
Who, me? Oh, I'm not going anyplace.
Why, you know perfectly well you have a dentist appointment.
I have?
Why, Minnie, you just told me you have a toothache and you're simply in agony.
Oh, yes. Oh, excuse me, Leonard. I'm in agony. It's been nice knowing you.
Well, so you're Babs.
So you're Leonard. I hope you're not angry with me.
Well, I don't know. I might be willing to discuss the question tonight. Say, around 8 o'clock. Okay?
Okay.
Trouble, trouble, trouble. Nothing but trouble. I guess a guy never really gets rid of his troubles till he's introduced to the undertaker.
How do you do, Riley?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking You look horrible.
I feel horrible.
Oh, too bad. I feel tip-top. I've been over at the UEPHC.
UEPHC?
Yes, the Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Health Club. Tonight we had some wrestling bouts. I saw one man weighing 120 lift another man weighing 250 and then drop him 6 feet. Beautiful technique.
Well, I ain't really interested in wrestling, Digger. What I need is a plumber.
I see. The faucet keeps a dripping. A bloop, bleep.
Well, no, not exactly. I'm worrying about my daughter, Beb.
Ah, yes. Children are a problem. Yesterday, some hoodlum stole a sign from an airport and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Oh, I was furious.
Why? What did the sign say?
Don't go the old-fashioned way. Fly there.
Well, Digger, my kid's good, only she's unpopular. A boy takes her out the first time, and he never sees her again.
Every day I go out with people for the first time, and that's the last I ever see of them.
It's because she's a little on the stupid side.
What did you say? How dare you, her father, talk about such a lovely girl in that fashion? You incense me, sir. I've got a good mind to lay you out.
Well, I know it sounds terrible. I couldn't believe it at first, but I heard this boy Leonard say so.
If this Leonard were here right now, I'd box his ears. I might even go further than that. He's a contemptible cad.
You think Babs is okay?
Of course, man. Your Babs is cheerful, charming, and chic. Cute, coy, and captivating. I adore Babs. She's okay.
Well, of course she is. I'm ashamed of myself for ever doubting it. You know something, Digger? You've just opened my eyes.
Well, there's a first time for everything. Cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Where have you been?
Peg, listen. I was all wrong about Babs. She's a wonderful girl.
Of course she is.
I was a fool to believe that, Leonard, and I'm through interfering in her life. From now on, she... Yes?
Good evening, sir. Is Babs in?
Leonard, get out of here, you convertible cad.
Now, wait, Riley.
But, Mr. Riley,
And what's the idea of calling Babs stupid?
Oh, that was a mistake. I didn't mean Babs.
Don't lie. If you didn't mean Babs was stupid, who did you mean? The only other rally you know is... Oh, I am, am I? Get out of here!
Riley, for heaven's sake, will you...
I have a date with Babs.
She don't have no date with you.
Oh, Riley, what, you had
I know what I'm doing. Babs will thank me for this.
Oh, hello, Daddy. I thought I heard...
Everything's okay, darling. I threw him out.
Well, ho out.
It was, please pardon the expression, Leonard.
Leonard?
Wait, Babs, you didn't hear me. This was Leonard, the boy you despised.
I do not. I think Leonard's perfectly wonderful. You've just ruined my whole life.
That's twice. She's got more lives than a cat.
Well, Mr. Riley?
I don't get it. First it was Bruce, then it was Leonard, then it was Bruce. Now it's Leonard again. I'm going to get that girl psychoalkalized.
Now, Riley, you listen to me. I've told you a thousand
times...
Hey,
the phone!
Babs will answer it. Now, listen, Riley, you've simply...
The door! This place is getting to be a madhouse.
Yeah? Look here, Riley.
Mr. Stevenson, how are you, boss?
I was waiting in the car to give Leonard a lift downtown. What's this he tells me?
But it was a mistake, boss.
People don't get very far when they go around insulting.
Boss, it was a mistake, but it's okay now. Babs would love to go out with Leonard, honest. If she don't, you can fire me.
Well, I suppose mistakes can happen.
Yeah, especially around here.
Oh, Daddy. Oh, hello, Hello, Mr. Stevens.
Oh, good evening.
Daddy, I'm sorry I made a scene before.
Oh, that's okay, honey.
Everything's all right now. I'm going out.
You see, boss, what did I tell you? Well, run along, Babsy. We don't want to keep Leonard waiting.
Leonard? But, Daddy, I'm going out with Mervyn.
Mervyn? Who's Mervyn?
He just phoned me. Good night.
Well, Riley?
Mervyn. Who's Mervyn?
I'm still waiting, Riley. What about Leonard's date?
I don't know, boss. I guess Leonard will have to go out with Bruce. It's a losing fight. I know. Oh, gee, I'm glad Mr. Stevenson didn't fire me last night.
Well, it's not your fault he didn't.
What do you mean? Didn't I get Leonard a date to go dancing?
You got him a date, all right. And my feet are still killing me.
Thanks, I get.
Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp, Alan Lipscott, and Jack Brecker. Music by Lou Kozlov. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. Babs is Barbara Eiler. Stevenson is Ken Christie. Leonard is Gil Stratton. Minerva is Sandra Gould. And Bruce is Irvin Lee. The Life of Riley is produced and directed by Irving Brecker.
The Life of Riley, on Tuned to Yesterday, from September 13, 1947, on NBC. The program was written by Alan Lipscott, who wrote most of the shows for the radio version of the series. When it first hit TV screens in 1949, Alan Lipscott contributed 24 episodes to that first season, which starred comedian Jackie Gleason. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for AB's Irish Rose, this NBC broadcast from the 17th of June, 1944.
AB's Irish Rose.
What are you laughing at?
What am I laughing at? I am just laughing. What's the matter? There's a law against that?
Yes, here it is, folks. Dream. D-R-E-N-E. Dream Shampoo. Once again brings you that lovable, laughable show, Ann Nichols, AB's Irish Rose. Well, this business of being summer hotel owners is getting more and more complicated for the two fathers, Patrick and Solomon. In their first effort at managing Looney Lake Lodge on Lake Looney in the Catskills, the fathers lost their meat chef by giving him the wrong tip on how to cook roast beef. And then, suddenly getting the idea that the twins had scarlet fever, they frightened several hundred guests into planning a mass exodus. Well, the twins haven't got scarlet fever, but how are the guests to be convinced? That's the question as Mr. and Mrs. Cohen wake up the next morning in their luxurious suite at the hotel.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Hello, honey. Did you sleep up here? How did you sleep up here?
How did I sleep up here with my eyes closed? Just like anywhere else. Why are you making so much noise, Papala, so early in the morning?
Early in the morning? Why, it's 8:45.
What? 8:45? Oh, you let me get up.
Who's stopping you? Go on.
Where are my shoes and my stockings and my everything else? Where are they?
Why are you getting so excited?
Who's excited? I'm just hungry. Breakfast is served only until 9:00.
Don't worry, darling. I know all about the dining room.
What about it?
Well, breakfast is served from 7 sharp to 9 sharp. But after 9 sharp, if you know the right man, you can eat until 12. From 12 sharp to 2 sharp, they serve lunch. But after 2 sharp, if you know the right man, You can eat until 6. From 6 sharp to 8 sharp, they serve dinner. But after 8 sharp, you have to go hungry. Understand?
Look, Papala.
What is it, Mamala?
Why did Solomon go around last night telling people the twinses have scarlet fever? Does he want to lose all the hotel guests?
It was the fault of the echo. Solomon only yelled the news to Abby out on Echo Point. And people in the hotel heard the echo. The twins don't have scarlet fever, only a stomach rash.
If there had been a train last night, lots of guests would have checked out.
We have no guests. We can't pick a floor show.
A floor show?
Sure, to entertain the guests at night. Solomon, Mr. Murphy, and me, we were going to pick the dancing girls today.
Papala, who said you was going to pick the girls?
I did, Tutsula.
But I didn't. So you don't pick. Stay away from dancing girls.
But, darling, Solomon and Mr. Murphy only want me to look at them.
Well, if you want to look at a girl, look at me. I'm plenty for you.
Mamala, you're even more than plenty.
Thank you. Tutsula, look, ain't I got the skin of a young girl?
Sure you have, honey. But maybe you should give it back to the young girl. You are getting it a little wrinkled.
Petrico, this lobby is a sad sight. Our guests are checking out by the dozens.
Oh, yes, Solomon. From now on, they'll be staying away by the dozens.
But they're driving the cloak, Meshuggah. Listen. Listen how they're ringing the bell to pay their bills. Oh, come on. Let's go out on the veranda.
All right. Now, what can we do?
I have been telling everybody that twinses don't have scarlet fever.
And so have I.
Dad, Papa Murphy, you know, if this keeps up, the hotel will be empty by noon.
It'll be before that, Abe.
Long before that, Abele. They all want to catch the 10:10 train.
Yeah, look at all those taxicabs on the drive there. Looks like they've called every cab in the whole township. The driveway is lined with them.
And that ain't what you'd call a silver lining. It certainly isn't.
And those that don't leave by taxicab, they will go to the railroad station in our bus. We will be helping them go.
Well, you can't expect them to walk, Dad. You know, it's 4 miles to the station.
Abele, I spent years educating you to be smart. Couldn't you get an idea how to stop them?
Oh, gosh, Dad, I don't know. Once people get panicky, they're pretty hard to handle.
Hello, boys.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Mamala and Mr. Corn.
Have you figured any way to stop the guests from checking out?
No, have you?
Well, I'll put my brains to work.
Papala, up here your brains are on a vacation until Labor Day.
But, Mrs. Cohn...
Solomon, you keep quiet. Your brains are on a vacation all year round. Besides, I'm mad at you two fathers.
You're mad at us? Why?
Why? Because you two talked my poor little papa into picking dancing girls.
What do you mean we talked him into it?
We couldn't keep him out of it.
So, Isaac...
Oy vez, mia.
Papala, don't let me catch you around those girls. Do you hear me?
Is it all right if you don't catch me? Huh, Mamala?
I'll answer you in 2 words. No. Right.
Soon the girls will be here, but what good will it do with all our guests gone?
Say, look. There's Papala. He's gone.
I don't know. Maybe he stepped inside.
If he went to meet those dancing girls... Wait till I meet him.
Oh, come on, little Patrick, now. Eat this lovely oatmeal.
Ah, oh, please.
There's
no way to talk about oats, honey. Everybody likes oats. Come in.
Good morning, Lily.
Oh, morning, Mr. Cohen.
Lily, how are the twins this morning?
They're feeling just fine.
They're feeling fine, huh?
Well, little Pat just don't like his oatmeal, that's all. Ain't it, little Pat?
Lily, tell me, how's the twins' stomach rash?
Rash is all gone.
Then, Lily, we got to do something fast, quick.
What is it, Mr. Cohen?
In 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, most of the guests will be skedoodling by bus and by taxi.
The guests leaving?
They heard the twins had scarlet fever, so they're all scared.
My heavenly stars.
So I figure if we can get the twins downstairs first, and the guests can see they're all right, then the scare will be over.
But, Mr. Cohen, the twins ain't dressed, and they ain't fed.
Lily, can't you and Rosalie dress them quick?
Miss Rosemary's gone down to the dining room. And even if we could dress the babies fast, they'll be cross without the breakfast and yell all over the hotel.
So, all right, they'll yell, but let's try it. You dress Beckley, I'll dress little Patrick. There's his clothes.
Right there, Mr. Cohen. I'll start Beckley.
Fine. Gosh, I never dressed a baby before. I wonder where you start.
I turn out the turtle.
Oh. Now, little Patrick. Here's a stocking. Is it a left or a right stocking? Well, okay. Well, I'll try it on the right foot. I didn't mean to tickle you. Oochie coochie woochie coochie. Now, come on. Try it again. Please, don't kick me. Not in the stomach.
Why, Mr. Cohen, what are you doing?
Rosalie, I have to go downstairs. You dress the twins and bring them down in the lobby as fast as you can. Oi, in 5 minutes, everybody will be leaving.
Hi, Mr. Cohen. Who are you talking to?
Oh, hello, Seth. I was talking to myself.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Looks as though the hotel has turned away lots of business this morning.
Yeah, you can say that again.
I've been around these parts 70 years, and I never seen this happen before. Well, I guess I'll be going about my handyman work.
Seth. You sound tired this morning.
I sat up very late last night. I didn't get to bed until nigh on 8:30.
Oh. Why did you sit up so late?
Oh, I was sparking a gal.
So, you got a girl.
Sure, I got a girl. Wonderful girl, Mr. Cohen. Her name is Elvira.
Elvira?
Mm-hmm.
Are you engaged?
Sure are. Been engaged 35 years.
35 years? Why haven't you gotten married?
Oh, Elvira ain't one to be rushed off her feet.
But 35 years?
Well, in the summertime, I'm too busy to go over to the county seat to get a marriage license.
Well, how about the winter?
Roads are bad. Well, I guess I'll be getting along.
Listen, Seth. Did you see all those people in the lobby?
I didn't need much specs for that.
They're all checking out to catch the 10:10 train. They think the babies have scarlet fever. In a few minutes, I could prove to everybody they're all right. But I don't know how to keep the guests here until then. Have you got any ideas, Seth?
Well, I ain't worked around Looney Lake for 50 years without getting ideas.
Yeah, what's the idea?
Oh, I don't know yet. I'm working on it. Excuse me whilst I think.
Why, he's working on it. With 2 minutes to go, he should put more men on the job.
Pamela, where was you? And why are you talking to yourself?
Because I like to talk to an intelligent man. I hope he figures something out.
Who? What? When? Why?
Seth, the handyman, he thinks he can keep the people here for a little while longer.
How's he going to do that? What is he, a miracle man?
Don't ask me. He's working on it.
Oi, Papala, look! Look, people are running to the Texas crabs.
Oi, Vesmir.
Well, we hope that loud crash wasn't the wreckage of the ideas Seth was working on.
Hey, Papala, did you hear that crash?
Of course I heard. Haven't I got ears?
What was it?
How should I know? Have I got eyes in my ears?
Come quick outside. Let's see.
Icicle, Mrs. Corn. Look at what Seth has done with the hotel boss.
He skidded the boss around and wrecked it right between the stone pillars at the hotel entrance.
Wait, what an idea you worked on. The entrance is all blocked now.
Yeah, and there are stone walls all along the road from the pillars.
Oi, now all the guests are capitulated. Not one of those Texas crabs can get out of the road.
Come on inside, everybody. I think our troubles are over. Who would walk 4 miles to the depot with baggage, even for scarlet fever? Come on, everybody.
Boy, did you hear those guests out there? Hey, look, here comes Seth.
Well, that darn bus just got out of control and went into a regular tailspin. Must have been reading my mind.
Are you hurt, Seth?
No, you couldn't hurt a tough old rooster like me.
You know, Seth, I got an idea. You did that on purpose.
I ain't saying, Mr. Murphy, I ain't saying. But them guests ain't leaving for a while now.
Aye, Seth, I think you're wonderful.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll tell that to my gal, Elvira. Make her jealous.
Seth, we all want to thank you.
Well, if you need any more ideas, just let me know. But now I got something important to do.
What have you got to do?
Oh, I got to set out some flowers. I think I'll start with them gall darn yous.
Say, look what they're doing down by the bus.
Why, they're hooking a taxicab onto it. They're going to drag it out of the way.
It's too late for them to catch the 10-10.
Well, they could catch the 11-11 or the 12-12.
Or even the 13-13.
Now what to do? What to do?
Well, here I am, Mr. Cohen, and little Capricle.
And here's Beckle and Mr. Cohen. Now what should we do?
I can tell you for Father and for Boo.
Wait a minute, Capricle. Let's see. It wouldn't do any good to take the babies outside. Everybody is too interested in the bus. I got an idea. Come along to the casino, everybody. I'll hurry ahead to speak to Harry Horner, the orchestra leader.
Come on, everyone. When Papa gets an idea, it could be anything, and usually is.
But there's a casino ahead, little Ted. You think you're going to like dancing?
Harry, Paul. Harry, everybody. I got a doll arranged with Harry Horner.
What have you got arranged?
Some of his musicians are here. And they'll play while Lily sings. This will attract the guests back into the hotel. And then they'll see the twins are all right. What do you want to sing, Lily?
Well, I like San Fernando Valley. Do the boys know that?
Sure they know it. Go ahead, boys.
I'm packing my grip. And I'm leaving today. Cause I'm taking a trip. California way. I'm gonna settle down in Nevermore and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins. I'll be making new friends where the west begins and the sunset ends. Cause I've decided where yours truly should be. And it's the San Fernando Valley for me. I think that I'm safe with Satan. He will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Rev Thomas made us a promise. He will make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can find my mail, RFD. I'm gonna settle down and live tomorrow. and make the San Fernando Valley my home.
That's fine, Lily, fine. But it only worked 50%. Half the guests are still outside.
Hey, Popola! Look! Look to the window! They are pulling the bars out from the entrance!
Hi, what to do? What to do? Maybe a conga line. One, two, three, boom! One, two, three, boom!
Hey, Popola!
Now what?
Look who's coming up the drive. Is he...
Is he who?
Is he handsome? Is he extinguished? Is he well dressed and tall and a foreigner, too?
Oh, so who cares?
And he has a dozen pretty girls around him.
Pretty girls? That I want to see. Let's go to the lobby, quick.
Say, Patrico. Look how all the men guests are following the pretty girls up to the hotel.
Oh, yeah. And see how the ladies are following the foreign fella. Hey, it's just like the Pied Piper.
He don't look like a pie to me. He's handsome. Oh,
hey, Mamala, don't be silly about a fella you don't even know.
But look at him. Ain't he wonderful?
I'm not even looking at him.
Oh, they are looking at those pretty girls, huh?
Who wouldn't?
One more look from you, and you couldn't.
Keep quiet. Here he comes across the veranda, and all the guests are following him in. Oh, he's wonderful. He can have the best suite in the hotel.
Why, certainly can. It's $50 a day.
Quiet, everybody. Quiet. I came here to tell you about a very distinguished visitor who is coming here.
Who is it?
Me.
And who are you?
I'm Boris Sergei Alexander Pyotr Basil Ivan Bagel. For short, you can call me Butch.
Oh, Mr. Bagel... You're a long ways from Russia.
It's 50-50. Russia is also a long ways from me.
Where were you born in Russia?
Was I born in Russia? Of course!
What part?
What part? All of me.
I mean, what part of Russia you come from?
Did you ever hear of Pinsk?
Pinsk? Sure.
I'm not from there. Did you ever heard of Minsk?
Why, certainly.
I'm not from Minsk. Did you ever heard of Omsk?
Why should I? You ain't from there either.
Ah, my little penguin. What a noodle you have.
Who's talking about soup? Where do you come from?
To get to my town, it's Omsk to Minsk to Pinsk.
Sounds like a double play with the batter out at first.
Quiet, Patrico, quiet. This is a very important guy. Mr. Bagel, what could we do for you?
Have you got a suite? All I need is a sitting room, a bedroom, a drawing room, a sleeping porch, and a place where I can wash my hands.
Sure, Mr. Bagel, that we got. Is there anything else?
Boris Bagel, your distinguished visitor, wants only one more thing, my little penguin.
No, now I'm a little penguin. Mr. Bagel, what else is it you want?
Boris Bagel wants a position.
A position? You mean you want a job?
How dare you! A Bagel never accepts a job. He has to have a position.
What kind of a job?
Look, my little...
Don't call me a penguin, I'll smear you. What kind of a job are you after?
Listen, I teach golf. I teach tennis, swimming, hiking, riding, botany. And at night, under the light of the moon and the stars, I also teach love.
But Mr. Bagel...
And also love.
Now see here.
And also love.
Would you like to be our athletic director?
Athletic director? Well, for you as a sideline, Bagel will do it, providing you give me 5 rooms and a lot of money.
Listen, Bagel, that job pays $15 a week and a room in the attic.
A room in the attic and $15 a week?
That's all.
Since you talked me into it, I'll take it.
fathers running Looney Lake Lodge and Boris Bagel entertaining the guests. Who knows what's going to happen, but it ought to be a lot of fun. Be sure to join us again next week at this same time for another adventure in the lives of the Murphys, the Levys, and the Coens. AB's Irish Rose is dedicated to the spirit of freedom and equality, which gives to this nation the greatness that is America. AB's Irish Rose is written by Ann Nichols and is brought to you by Dreen, D-R-E-N-E, Dreen Shampoo. The music is under the direction of Joe Rines. This is Richard Stark. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
AB's Irish Rose on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of June 1944 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.